We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Happy Friday. Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Mark Lazarus will give us his feelings, his impressions, his analysis of Corey Crawford's return and the maybe not that great, but always interesting so far. Blackhawks is kind of a lame performance.
Looked like a thing, though. He looks like Corey Crawford.
He looked fine. Had you not known anything had gone on, and you just walked into that building, was there anything remarkable, positively or negatively, about Corey Crawford? The answer would be no. And we'll talk to Mark about the Hawks at 10:40. Our friend Pete Futek on college football, midday, midway at 11. I've got stuff. I've got things. You've been following this segment and this show. It's news that you're going to have to hear. Jonah Carey at 11:40. We've got all sorts of action and points of discussion in Major League Baseball, so we'll talk to him then. And then Patrick Manley at noon will give us his inside opinion of the game planning, the scouting of the upcoming opponent, the New England Patriots. Also, three chances to win $1,000 with a lucky text and a pair of tickets to Bears Radio After Dark. You got to be listening if you want to win. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR, the score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live, streaming at 670thescore.com, texting the occasional wayward sext. Everybody gets a little bit of weekend fever.
Oh, yeah, it's Friday. We're going to see some of those roll in by
9:30. Yes, there might be references to bottomless monkeys at some point before 1 o'clock on the text lines, and that's fine. 67011. You text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1 McKnight. I'm at Dan_Bernstein. It is very important that you download the radio.com app.
Crucial. Download.
Yes, you've got to do that. That way you can stream the score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. We also have the cameras that show us here,
yes.
The video feed.
Hello.
Hi. How's it going? And that is at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live, directed by Brian Gertsch. Our executive producer is Jay Zawoski.
Lightning will fire a and knock it in. Lightning has been a terrific addition to this team.
I didn't realize it was a double tap. I thought it was just the one. You know, when I heard it live, well, I guess I was
that watching. Was someone in the crowd after who didn't appreciate it.
Yeah, there was.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, somebody reacted. There was Antonio Blakeney missing a short jumper and then screaming the F-bomb at the top of his lungs upon missing the short jumper. And what was the audience member saying?
The same word.
Same word.
Just right back at him, just echoing it?
Yep.
So is Blakeney the first or the second? He's the second, right?
Blakeney was the first?
Oh, he is? Okay. All right. Beautiful.
And then you hear Reggie Miller giggling while Kevin Harlan just goes right about his business. Our associate producer, the man on the board, he is cutting and scratching on the wheels of steel. He is Rick Camp.
They want Fultz to fire, and he does! Listen to this place. Wow. Good for him. Good for you, Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, he hit one.
Yep.
Clutched three times, shoulder like shook on the way up there. Oh. It's his first career three-pointer. Now they just need Ben Simmons to knock one down, and you're going to be good to go.
Yeah, but that's the first overall pick in the draft.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
Well, how about the fact they're treating him like Brian Scalabrine if he got minutes?
They're
treating him like the special needs kid in the youth football game when the
they're treating him like Brian Scalabrine if he got minutes.
It's not good.
Remember where the coaches arrange for the kid to score a touchdown
and they kind of let him walk
through everybody.
I mean, he needs to play. They have two. They're gonna be fine. The Sixers are gonna be fine, but they have two guys who do not shoot.
Yeah, but Ben Simmons makes up for it by being awesome.
I'm not saying it's the same problem for each guy, the same level of issue for each guy, but there are two players on that team you know will not shoot.
Anything's possible.
The Mexicutioner is nowhere to be found, so in his stead is Eli Hershkovich.
Defensively, one of the all-time greats.
Cordis Levine, hold on! Oh, he's
smelled it.
He did.
He couldn't taste it. He wanted to jam it.
The two-time slam dunk champion, as he's smiling going down. He already had a script in his head.
Does that qualify for early sexting? It seemed very...
He did.
He couldn't taste it. He wanted to jam it.
Yeah, kind of.
Very Randy.
Yeah, that is...
All worked up.
He's a little aroused, isn't he?
It seemed it.
This segment is brought to you by Art of Pizza on State Street. Stop in or carry out thin pan or deep dish, hot, fresh, ready-to-go pizza slices from Art of Pizza on State Street in Polk. Choose from up to 18 varieties of slices for delivery or pickup from Art of Pizza on State Street, 727 South State Street. The Bulls are going to be sad.
Come on. That, you knew that was coming.
I know, I did, but when you see it... The number of different ways, if you put together a bad defense bingo card, how quickly you win. I mean, when you just go through the – if you kept a checklist last night, all you had to do, watch the third quarter. Even in the third quarter alone, you get guys who are – where do you want to start? Where do you want to start setting up the bingo card?
I'd like to start in the second quarter.
Okay.
Because I'll tell you what was the most gross – miscarriage of defense that I off the jump ball at center court with 6:30 to play
wide
in
open
the second.
Three.
There is one pass to Covington and he is wide open for a 3-pointer again off a jump ball at half court.
The number of times a Bull is in a non-competitive defensive stance, like not even in a defensive stance. Not even pretending to have knees bent, shoulders square, arms extended. Not even faking it. Mm-mm. Okay, just sort of it's like standing there, like on your phone. Then you have completely losing the screener in screen roll in any number of ways. Either when he flattens out to the corner or simply rolling to the basket. Utter confusion as to who's supposed to come over from the weak side to give him a bump, give him a jam, at least carry him through an area before getting back to your guy. And if you want to laugh out loud, the way they try to match up in transition, I counted...
Do they?
I counted three separate times where a Philadelphia 76er in transition was left completely unguarded while two guys ran to the same guy.
Their transition defense is atrocious. They were outscored 37-13 in transition and second chance points. 37-13. That doesn't account for the total spread of the game, but it's pretty damn close, isn't it?
I don't really know what to do. I'm not sure what if things are being said in practice. If Jim Boylan says, all right, here's what we're going to do defensively, here's the plan.
It's actually being bleeped during practice.
But
none of the words he says are actually audible on audio.
But Jabari came through with exactly what he said.
Yes.
When we don't make shots, we have to continue to guard, and we have to rebound. And that was a problem. When we got cold on the other end, it affected our defense. And that's got to get better. That's got to improve.
Yes, it does.
Oh, yeah, just a little.
Yeah, I second those comments by Fred Hoiberg because they are really prone to just standing around. And watching, there was a sequence, I forgot who it was, where Jabari Parker's guy got by him, missed the shot, got the ball back, and put it in, and no one's doing anything.
No one's doing anything. I played softball last night, so I missed the start of the game. I had to go back home and watch on DVR the first and second quarters. But after the softball game, I was scrolling through Twitter, and I saw Casey Johnson's tweet of... At this point, so something like, at this point, does Ryan Arcidiacono just play over Campaign? Is he just better? Is he just higher on the chart now than Campaign? And I thought, well, what happened? Like, did Campaign break a leg? Is he okay?
No, he
and
just...
I got back home and I watched the first and second quarters and I thought, well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Well, I mean,
0-4.
It's easy to beat up Campaign, but... It's kind of a useless thing to do at this point. They like him because he runs fast, he gets the ball up the floor, and then the ball gets back to him and he misses a shot. But it's Arcidiacono's a try-hard guy.
Yes.
I mean, he's Rusty LaRue.
I'm not advocating. I just just telling you what happened to me last night, you know? Reading through Twitter, seeing that, going back and watching the first and second and thinking, my goodness, Casey Johnson has a point here, and it's not that. Here's the good thing. 33 minutes for Zach LaVine. He put up 30, 5 boards, 6 of 7 free. He got to the free throw line 7 times, or shot 7 free throws. You could see it from there. Can't you? I could see it from there. He had 5 turnovers. Most of them, 3, 4 of them, if you want to call the fourth one, most of them just on bad passes where he's trying to force it a little bit, knowing that offensively he's the guy and trying to find some. I think you could see it from there. I was impressed. I was satisfied with what I got from Zach LaVine last night.
Okay.
I think that's important. Because we were talking Will Perdue for an hour
yesterday.
It's a blowout,
though. What are you, down 25 at the end of 3 or whatever?
Yeah, but
it is.
I thought some of the early stuff was okay.
And all you're looking for this year are pieces to your next decent team. And he proved that what we thought, essentially, that the athleticism that we didn't see last year is back, and how much easier he moves and how much easier his offense comes when he's as athletic as he is right now. So if nothing else, in just the one game, to me, you can already say, okay, he's back to the guy that we thought he was going to be, and you can discount what you saw last year.
I thought
that's what I needed to have.
There were way more shots in rhythm.
Yes.
Last year, everything was out of rhythm. Some of it was the minute cap and the fact that he felt he had to do things. Nothing looked properly timed last year in his game, and when his game is timed up and he's got his bounce back, that's what you paid $80 million
for. Yeah, of the very few things that they can prove this season, mentioning the defense being as bad as it is, that's one thing that I thought I could get an actual solid answer on, and I'm happy to have the start to the season. I mean, it's one game, obviously, against the Sixers in a blowout, but I'm happy to see that.
My other positive is Wendell Carter Jr. is going to figure this out. He for a 19-year-old to step out there against Joel Embiid. I mean, he put him in the blender early. And Will Perdue was, when Will was sitting here yesterday, you know, the first thing he said about what Wendell Carter's going to have to deal with. Wendell, I have to remember. It's Wendell.
Wendell, yeah.
Wendell Carter Jr.
Those two things we have to remind ourselves about Carter Jr. Wendell, and he's 19.
Right.
All season long, worth saying every time you bring him up.
It's a 19-year-old NBA player, and you can say why he's beyond his years and all that stuff, but that's fine. He's still a 19-year-old NBA player, but he's gonna be just fine.
Okay.
He's going to be a real NBA guy. I don't know about a star, but he's gonna be just fine.
Does his minutes total worry you at all this season, or make a mark on you this? Does he need to be 25, 27 minutes, or is just sitting? Like, he got 20 last night.
Okay.
Do you care just how much he gets, or is it just about starting nominally and then finding situations and finding defensive matchups for him to play?
Well, when I think about that, higher minutes for him are going to be an indication he's staying out of foul trouble. That if there is a governor on his minutes, it's going to largely be because he hasn't yet learned how to defend with his feet instead of his hands. You got guys going into him, taking advantage of him physically. That his minutes are going to, in large part, going to be in his control. If he's worthy of staying on the floor and able to keep himself out there, go ahead. You're 19. You're a young man.
Yeah, I thought he did a decent enough job keeping his hands out of Joel Embiid yesterday. Not decent enough. It's still Joel Embiid. It's his idol, after all, a 25-year-old who he's worshipped since he was, I don't know, forever.
Our Bulls Talk is brought to you by Illini Care Health. You deserve quality health care. Remember to choose Illini Care Health today. Visit ChooseIlliniCare.com. Illini Care Health is a health choice Illinois plan, and the home opener is tomorrow on The Score. See?
Now I'm back in.
But you know what?
Now I'm back in.
I did that thing when I got in the car and I was searching for the Bulls game on the radio. And they're like, oh, yeah.
Here.
It's on The Score.
It's us.
Old habits die hard.
We have them.
I did the same thing when we got the Cubs.
Did you really?
I would turn on the old station like, what the? Where's the? Oh, yeah. We have them now.
We used to get calls over at the other side. Just where is the game? It's over. We have it now. It's over here.
Yes,
we have it.
You can come right here.
Come on through to the spot.
Love to know your impressions of what you saw. Basically, how we're going to deal with this Bulls season. Because those of us who have, and especially you as a Bulls fan, when you go from the Tom Thibodeau religion, the defensive religion, to this, it's really hard to change it over. If you're starting to care about the Bulls and you watch some of the personnel they have out there, some of these groups who are just on their phones. Get off your phone during the game. You're out there on the floor playing NBA basketball. Get off your phone. Take your headphones off. Stop staring at your phone and pay attention to what's going on in front of you. 312-644-6767. Mark Lazarus will join us at the top of the hour, and we've got opportunities for you to win $1,000. You've got to be listening for those lucky keywords on the score. If you could give Wendell Carter Jr. one piece of advice, what would it be?
That he's going to get his ass handed to him on a regular basis, and that don't take it personally, and realize that the great thing about this league is there's 82 games, and one game does not make or break a season. But that's the hard part, because you play with pride, you play with ego. But know that as hard as you may play, and as well as you may play a guy defensively, there's a good chance he's still going to score on you.
Embiid on a pump, on a drive, to the rim with a sidestep, floats it in with the right hand, all the way to the cup.
You just don't see seven-footers doing little sidesteps and maneuvering. Not big seven-footers like that. That was a nice move.
He's just so smooth.
He's a very talented young man.
He's just smooth.
It was a long night for the Bulls defense. Everything starts out fine. When you score 41 points in a quarter, you think, oh, man.
They did it.
It's 41-16.
Look at all those shots.
And they're like, nah, it's 41-38.
Bobby Portis couldn't miss first and second quarter. You really do, or at least I do, respect the fact that Bobby Portis grew himself into a very good NBA player.
Going to be a very rich one come this offseason.
You would imagine, right?
I mean, who isn't in the NBA?
Yeah, everybody gets money. You want some money? Here, take some money. Everyone's fine. The Chris Dunn is going to be, congratulations to Chris. He had the baby and everything, so congratulations. Good on you. That's awesome. Get on back there and let's see a little bit of what it looks like with Dunn. I just don't know how much different, given the fact, you talked about this yesterday. Given as much switching as everyone in the NBA does, given as much scoring as everyone in the NBA has, I just don't know how much one guy at that position of all places is going to matter defensively.
It can't hurt. If it keeps Cameron Payne,
it won't hurt.
The floor.
Why? I don't know that Cameron Payne needs to be kept off the floor.
Yeah, I don't think Gar wants to be wrong on that one. Even though the more you play him, the more wrong you look. You might be better off just hiding it.
He had 22 minutes last night. Ryan Arcidiacono had 28 and Blakeney had 30. And I know it's a blowout, but please.
West Side, this is Byron on the score. Hey, Byron.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
All right, I just wanted to comment just saying I think there's going to be a lot of drinking and channel surfing when the Bulls are on, because for some reason I just don't. I mean, we have great players, but they're just not adhering to what the coach's, his program is. He was great at Iowa State, but I just don't know what's just not transitioning over here with these guys.
I don't know that that's the case. Fred teaches offense. Fred works offense. I don't know how much you've added guys into this lineup, whether it's LaVine, whether it's Parker, whether it's campaign or Holiday, I guess defensively he's on. You've added guys into this lineup that don't have a defensive reputation.
No, it's not their culture. And I always tell the story about people who go back to Iowa State with Fred. We'll say Fred, that if you ask him a question about defense, by the end of the answer, he'll be talking about offense. It's just how he's wired. He is an offensive-minded coach. It is how he thinks. It's no different than the football coach who's an offensive guy. It's the opposite of Tom Thibodeau, who all he thinks about is what can we do in the next possession to deny this team an angle, deny them a shot, or challenge something. And it's a change in culture. And he says the right things. Fred said, he said, we have to defend when our shots aren't falling. We have to defend. We have to rebound. Defensive rebounding is a component of defense, making sure a team doesn't get a second opportunity. And a lot of it, too, is not turning the ball over. Not live ball turnovers end up as dunks in this league now. It's an above-the-rim league. Mm. And you turn it over at the foul line. That thing is going the other way in a hurry. They don't have a culture that esteems the defensive side of the ball, no matter what they say. They just don't. And not every team has to. Houston Rockets were an awful defensive team and were...
Last few years, they've been good defensively.
Have the metrics shown that?
Yes, absolutely. They had Jeff Bizdelic, who he left the team this year because he wanted to spend more time with family. A lot of people think that's the reason along with a couple of the players leaving, that they don't have a chance against the Warriors anymore. Well, like, if their defense has been really good.
I'm trying to think of the best example of the good team with the bad defense then. It's because the go-to was always Houston, and they've sort of changed the narrative on that with
well, recent... you can't take LeBron's Cavaliers because that doesn't count. It's LeBron.
Right.
So I think you have to remove that as an exception.
And there have been a lot of teams that essentially didn't play defense in the regular season and then did in the playoffs.
Could, yeah.
And then because of matchups and really did, there was an example of the regular season not indicating what they were preparing to do when games started to matter late. And I forgive me for not remembering which team was it. This prime example of a team that really, when they wanted to, could execute defensively.
The LeBron Heat?
I was just going to say, that sounds like a LeBron Heat run.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me to bear that out.
So it would be tempting, probably too tempting to do this, but as you look at the NFL and see scoring go through the roof and nobody allowed to play defense, I was looking through game scores just as we started the NBA, and you know, it's been 3 days, so it's not been, you know, all that big of a sample size. But did you know that only three teams have scored under 100 points so far? The Sixers scored 87 in the opener against the Celtics and then went on to put up plenty of points. The Clippers scored 98, so that's very close to 100. And the Grizzlies had 83. Three scores have been under 100 points so far this year. Whether that pretends to something larger, I don't know, but I'm saying it because I want to check myself against comparing the NBA to the NFL and where scoring is and where it isn't. Someone is going to play, some handful of teams are going to play pretty decent defense this year. I think probably the Boston Celtics will be toward the top of that list because Brad Stevens does that sort of thing. And you're going to see the Warriors have even had better defensive ratings and numbers than a lot of people, a lot of casual NBA observers would have you believe because of the way they play offensively, because of how many possessions they'll run through.
Well, that's the thing, is there's still the narrative of because the scores have gone up that defense doesn't matter in the NBA when it matters more than ever.
It's the number of possessions. Now, if you look at teams, you just get like a 9-point lead for the Warriors might as well be a 2-point lead. If you just look at how quickly scores change. Hell, look at what happened in the Bulls game last night.
Yeah.
Look at how these things used to be. Boy, you get this thing under double digits at halftime. There's a big Doug Collins thing. You know, they just talked about the psychology of it being the difference between a 9-point lead and a 12-point lead with this huge deal. It's not the case anymore. These leads, they shrink and they expand more rapidly than ever. The third quarter last night, what was it? Did it go to? It went from like 4-17 in a blink.
Just close the box score.
In a blink.
The outskirts. Because the Bulls had won the first 41-38. And in the third quarter, the Sixers put up 37 while the Bulls put up 18.
So the Rockets moved up. They were 18th in defensive rating. And then moved up to 7th last year. And the Warriors' worst defensive year so far in this run, their worst defensive finish in defensive rating was 11th. So still good. They've never not been pretty good.
And that was
good
last year when Draymond Green missed time.
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant's one of those guys that turns on the defense in the playoffs.
That's true.
He became a rim protector in the playoffs when they needed it.
He did.
He started that last year in Oklahoma City in that series when they were up 3-1 on the Warriors.
They take turns having guys do whatever needs to be done in playoff games for them. They've always, even though they've churned through some guys on the bench, they get buy-in from a lot of that. And it's... Brad Stevens has a different culture than other coaches do.
Well, it's about finding guys, at least, you know, you go through that list, and it feels to me it's about finding guys that can guard multiple positions. And I know we're in a positionless basketball now. I get that. But you're looking for guys that can guard combinations of players then, if you don't want to do the whole 3-4-4-5 thing. You know, you're looking for guys like Kevin Durant who can stay with Chris Paul for the better part of the Western Conference final.
It allows you to switch ball screens, and it allows you to always have a body in front, and not just a switch to get unswitched. It can give you a switch for the remainder of the possession that you feel okay about. And if you have similarly sized players and similarly skilled players, you can do that.
And that's the thing about the Bulls defense last night, is as much as their transition defense was awful, the switches, You know, the general premise of the switch, as I understand it, Dan, and you've covered basketball a lot longer than I have, the general premise is if you're going to go take my guy, I have to go take your guy.
So far, so good.
Yeah, so here's the second part wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Nobody was going to take the other guy's guy. You went out and took my guy, but I stood there and had a sandwich.
Well, and they were also doing old Spurs stuff where they were running pick and roll to get the shot for somebody uninvolved in the pick and roll. It wasn't necessarily for the ball handler or for the screener. And then you go and you take the guy who's going to help.
The Manu Pau thing where Bruce Bowen's in the corner.
Yeah,
sort
it was
of
for
deal.
That yeah. guy the whole time. And then Covington is standing there and nobody's within 15 feet of him.
That happened four times.
Mark Lazarus is going to tell us all about last night's Blackhawks game and Corey Crawford's return and why Brandon Saad is bad. We'll get that all figured out next on The Score.
Bears fans, stick around because this is a Bet Chicago Football Friday on The Score. All day today, we'll be talking to our football expert.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.